Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Show, helping you to stand out and to get ahead. And in just a minute, you're going to hear part two of my conversation with Dr. Ellen Ensher. She's going to tell you exactly how to approach and what to say to someone who you want to have as your mentor. Before we begin, a friendly reminder, you can get more of LeadX throughout your day by following LeadX Life on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And don't forget to ask me your toughest management and career questions by going to leadx.org/askkevin. Now, let's get back to my conversation with Ellen Ensher.
Every semester I teach a class and I make my students get a mentor. Some of them have blown me away. They have done cold connects with all sorts of interesting people. One was the CEO of Tender Greens, and he was so kind and he mentored my student. So it's not that that never works. It's just that it will work better if you can take some time and do some research and figure out how you might find a warm connection with them.
And Ellen, don't you think, but you know, this, the remarkable story of your student, this is an area where I think the younger you are, the bigger your advantage.
So yeah, I do.
So I think, you know, there, because everybody wants to help. It's just, we have limited time, and generally the people who are at what, you know, quote unquote, the top of their careers probably have very little time. They still want to help. And I feel like the CEOs, as an example, you know, if they were cold contacted by someone in the eighth grade, they probably are more likely to say yes to that person than someone, you know, who's 20 years old. And they're more likely to say yes to that 20-year-old college student than to a 30-year-old who's already, you know, spent a few years in the field.
Right. I agree. You know, and I think part of finding these warm connections like that is that, you know, it turned out the Tender Greens guy had some connections to our university. So he felt kindly towards an LMU student. And so what I always recommend to people, I think LinkedIn is like the best thing that's ever happened to mentoring these days, because you can go on there and search. The first thing I would say is search your alumni connections and see if there's someone in your alumni connection that could provide you with that warm connect. Look at your primary connections, look at your secondary connections, because it's all gathered right there. And, you know, we all have a lot of down, you know, sometimes we have downtime. So instead of just, you know, looking at more cat videos, I always say, go to your LinkedIn. They always give you a list of people that you can add, like really start adding to your network, but in a methodical way. It should be people that you know, not just random strangers, because you never know when that person might be helpful. And not to, and maybe it's going to be their network, you know, or maybe it's going to be their extended network, if that makes sense.
Now, Ellen, I'm going to horrify you, because I'm going to tell you that I accept every single LinkedIn connection that I get. Oh, and in fact, so there's 100,000, you know, downloads a month of this podcast. And I'm telling all of you listeners, if we're not already connected on LinkedIn, just look up Kevin Cruz on LinkedIn, send me the invite, and I'm going to accept it. I now have like over 17,500 direct connections on LinkedIn. So I differ from you on that. I think for most mere mortals, you know, accepting people who you have some connection with, you know, not complete strangers, is probably the right move. What I find, it's that whole power of loose connections thing. Mm-hmm. And just because I'm an entrepreneur and we're doing the media thing, like I find it's helpful to have a, you know, a big network. So I, you know, I think in my case, it makes sense to be a little more aggressive about that or open about that. So I just wanted to throw that out there too.
No, I think for what you're doing, it's perfect. I actually wrote a blog post called Confessions of a Recovering LinkedIn Hussy, because
great article title.
Because it was kind of the idea when I started, I was like the girl who couldn't say no, like, sure, you can be in my LinkedIn. But then I realized, I read an article by the LinkedIn CEO, and he talked about, well, really what you want to do is you want to have people on there that you know. And I found for what I do as a professor and as somebody who's teaching people to get mentoring, a lot of times they'll go to my LinkedIn network and they'll say, Ellen, can you provide me with an introduction? And I have to know them in order to do that.
Right. And I don't do those things. You're right. I have to turn down a lot of those requests. Right. Right.
So I think it's just knowing what you want to use it for. Yeah.
Makes sense. So, wow, we're like on these such fun tangents. We could probably do a whole different show on LinkedIn and LinkedIn for your career. So let me ask, I want to get like just really specific then, because so this show goes out to 148 different countries. And, you know, I think we've got some very senior people and we have students. We have a lot, you know, I think the bulk of our audience are new managers, new leaders, or people who are looking forward to taking that step in their career. You know, what would be something really specific that you think we could do today? I always want our listeners to get a little bit better every day. I mean, is it go on to LinkedIn and start making friends, or what do you think we should actually take action on today?
So I have this whole idea about connecting with people courageously. And so I think where a lot of people get stuck is they get stuck because they are afraid. Like, wait, if I try to get a mentor or if I reach out to this person, I'm bothering them. I don't really have anything to offer. What do I say? And so they just don't do it. Mm. And so I hate to sound like, you know, the Nike commercial, just do it. But instead I say, just do it with courage. And what I would say is, like, one thing you could do today is think about, what is a courage ritual that you can use for yourself? And I have asked my students to write about this over the years. So I have some blog posts. People use poems, people use quotes, they use raps, they use songs, they use, you know, Amy Cuddy's power poses is a great example. A lot of athletes have courage rituals. So I would say if you know, I have a mantra that I say, I have a song that I do. If you don't have a courage ritual that you use before you do something hard, whether it's going on an interview or a networking event or a date, get one. So that's like something that you could do today, is you could look at other people's courage rituals, think about what inspires you, and come up with a courage ritual. I think that would be one thing that people could do that would be really, really helpful.
Okay, this is great. And I don't know, have you read, it's brand new, there's a book out called Psyched Up by Daniel McGinn.
Oh, I haven't read that. No, but I'll write that down.
Yeah, so he's the subtitle's How the Science of Mental Preparation Can Help You Succeed. And I interviewed him, I think, a month ago, so his episode's probably coming out any time now. And he talks about, you know, in the book about, just as you said, all these athletes and people who do these rituals right before their games and things. And hopefully Daniel's not listening to this episode, because like when I got pitched by the PR people for his book, I'm thinking like, what? You know, this is an important topic about how to psych yourself up. I was a little skeptical. Great book, great idea. And now here you're coming at it again saying, you know, whether it's like you said, you know, this physicality that you put, you know, yourself into, this power pose, whether it's a poem, whether it's your favorite song, there's ways you can kind of quickly get yourself into that courageous state, right? Before then reaching out.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to give us your personal mantra?
Well, I actually have a personal mantra. It's not, this is one more to say to myself every single day. And I have some other things I do when I'm doing something difficult. But one I give to myself every single day is, I am deeply peaceful.
That's a good
because
one.
Because I feel like what happens a lot of times in my busy days is there's a lot of things that get thrown at me.
Right.
And that could send me over the edge. And so if I just always say to myself, which is sometimes it's aspirational, I'm not actually deeply peaceful. I'm a mess. But if I say to myself, I'm deeply peaceful, it reminds me of how I want to be. And it really, really helps. Right. Yeah. I mean, I do have kind of a fun one that I shared on the TEDx talk, which is a song that I sang for the TEDx audience, but I don't think I'm up for reprising that. I think once is enough.
I'll have to have you on a follow-up show for the encore performance. So Ellen, I kind of feel like, I jumped because I'm always about like practical value for everybody, but I kind of think I cut you off. When we do reach out with the warm lead, like let's say, I don't know, I find out that you and I both went to the same school or we both, whatever, right. We both know somebody. You know, do you have any advice for like the specific first connection? Whether, I mean, should it be an email? Should it be a letter? Should I call you up on the phone? And, you know, are there any kind of tricks in like what to say or not to say so you don't freak the person out, you know, asking them to be your mentor?
That's such a great, yeah. It's so funny because just this morning I wrote a script about this for my new LinkedIn class. So I've got this all top of mind. So absolutely. I don't think how you reach out really matters. And I mean, I do notice there's big generational differences with that. I mean, I love to tease my Gen Z students who I love, but and they're so smart, but they hate getting on the phone.
Yeah.
So I think email is great, but it really, you know, how you do it, it doesn't matter. But I think the things that you need to do when you reach out is, number one, reference your warm connection if you have one. Number two, do a small ask. So I wouldn't say, you know, will you be my mentor? I would say, will you meet with me for 20 minutes and do an informational interview? And then get in front of them, build rapport, be really prepared going in for that informational interview. And then get to know each other gradually. So I think if you do those kinds of things, that will help a lot. I think also being clear about what it is that you want to talk about, whether it's, you know, I saw your talk and I would love to get your top tips on speaking. And then I think this one's really, really important. Indicate to your potential mentor that you'd like to share ideas and be helpful to them as well. I think I had a potential protege approach me, and it was the first time anyone had ever asked me this, and it blew me away. He said, I have three questions to ask you in 15 minutes. And then he showed the first two questions. He showed that he had done background research and he asked really interesting detailed questions. And then his third question was, and what can I do to help you?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved it. And, you know, he became a protege and he became someone that I will take his call anytime. So I think those are some ideas of what you can do. So small ask, get in front of the person, being respectful of their time when they're there, and then asking, what would you like to learn from me?
It's such a great question. And you know, I actually, you know, use that question at the very end of my my weekly one-on-ones with my team members. It's sort of like, you know, what can I do for you this week to help you be successful? And almost everybody that I meet in any situation, you know, it's something I've always, you know, also ended with. It is a very powerful question. But now I'm going deeper because you're getting me hooked on this. So I hope you have still have a couple more minutes.
I do. I'm good.
Okay. So, because I know I'm going off script on this. So here's something that I struggled with. So I've, you know, agreed to be a mentor to different people, different times. Often they're young entrepreneurs and things. And one of the things I've struggled with is when the protege or mentee and I as the mentor, when we really didn't know what we were doing, there was no framework or plan for what to do with it. It'd be like we'd show up once a month and, hey, how's it going? Fine. How's it going? And it would be them saying, oh, well, I'm struggling with this. Right? And I give them some ideas and off we go. And I don't think it really felt productive for either one of us. So if you're approaching, again, so I'll be the protege. I approach you. I want you to be my mentor. Should I kind of take ownership of that process and say, hey, here's what I'm hoping to get out of it. We're going to talk once a week or talk once a month, and I'm going to ask you these kinds of things, or it'll never be personal. It's always work, or it will be both personal and work. Like, and what should that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I always encourage the protégés to drive the car. Huh. And, and come into those meetings prepared. But here's something you can do, because I know that feeling so well when you get together, especially if it's a assigned formal program. How's it going? Good. Okay, do you have any goals? And then it's awkward. And then Sometimes people hit this weird lull. And so here's a solution to that. Action Learning Project. So I'm a big fan of doing community-based learning with my students. And it struck me, the thing that's so cool about community-based learning is you're actually doing a project that helps someone and you have a deliverable at the end. So now with all my mentoring clients, that's my major recommendation is when you get people together, brainstorm a project that you can work on, and it shouldn't be something burdensome. It should be something that maybe has been lingering on your to-do list, but you just can't quite get to because, you know, you're busy and you don't have anyone to help you with. Or maybe it's just something like a question that you've been really curious about, but you need to bounce some ideas off of. So I would say, you know, if you could get together and ask yourself, like, what would be something that we both want to learn, you know, and maybe it's we want to do, you know, I had two civil engineers and they came together and they said, we want to learn how to help community members understand about, you know, clean and safe water recommendations in certain areas. Right. So maybe it's going to be a conference presentation. Maybe it's going to be doing some kind of service. Maybe it's a book, whatever it is, something tangible that, you know, maybe in 6 months or a year, you'll both have something to show from it and you'll be better because of it. So I think that's what I would say is how you can get over that awkward, like, oh, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's great.
Have a thing that you guys are doing. And then all those skills like feedback and coaching and active listening, like you'll just be using them all naturally, but you'll be using it in the service of this project that you both want to be doing.
That's great. Okay, final question. So this is the LeadX show. So I always also have to ask, you know, for all the first-time managers out there, young managers, what kind of leadership advice would you give them? Like, if you could place a phone call to your younger self, and I have a broad definition of leadership because, you know, we're all influencing those around us, whether they're direct reports or not. But, you know, if you could place that phone call back to a younger Ellen and say, hey, listen, when you're in the position to lead others, keep this in mind. What would you tell yourself?
Well, as you can probably expect, I would tell young Ellen to get a network of mentors. But I would say, and you would expect to hear that from me, but I would also say to her is to start mentoring others now. Like, I actually think it's never too soon to start being a mentor to others. I mean, I have an eighth grader right now, you know, and I've been saying to him, you know what? You are a mentor to the third graders in your family group. Because when you reach a hand back and serve, like, that should be part of your whole, like, virtuous circle of mentoring. So get a network of mentors, but also be a mentor to others, like, right away. Never too soon. You always have something to offer.
And I think that changes your whole identity, right? I mean, I think when our kids realize that they are mentors to others, they are leaders to others, it can change their own behaviors, realizing that they're in that position.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes them better.
Makes them better. So, Ellen, tell our listeners, how can they find out more about you and your work?
So I have a website, which is www.ellenensher.com, and I have lots of resources there. I have a blog that I write about management and mentoring. I have a couple of courses on LinkedIn Learning about how to design formal mentoring programs, how to be a good mentor, and one coming out in December on how to get a mentor and be a successful protege. So probably best way is visit the website and check out the LinkedIn classes, and you'll find links to my book and other writings there as well.
That's great. And we'll put all those links in the show notes as well. Ellen, thanks for coming on to the LeadX show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. LeadX family, don't forget you can get links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org, and you can also download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, at leadx.org/Branson. And if you want to get more LeadX in your everyday life, just follow us at LeadX Life on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. That's one word, LeadX Life. And if you've ever gotten even just one good idea from a LeadX show, do me a huge favor. It takes less than a minute. And just subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave a quick rating. Just go to leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, friends, remember, leadership is about influence, which means we are all leaders. Whether you're a salesperson or a soldier, an entrepreneur or an executive, a coach or a counselor, you are leading all of the time. You positively influence with your behavior, and you influence negatively when you're a bystander. How will you lead today?